Hello, everyone. My name is Ethan. I'm here with Spotlight Reporting, and joining me today is Mike from HanCamp. So Mike is our first guest in our short mini series here called Tech Insights with Accounting Leaders. So today I'm going to ask Mike three questions, just to hear about how he's handling some things and his team at HanCamp. But before we get into that, Mike, let me not steal your thunder, but do you want to just introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Ethan. My name is Mike Campana. I'm a principal at HanCamp. HanCamp is a top 200 firm located in Dubuque, Iowa, which is in the northeast corner of the state of Iowa. My current role is I head up our training function, but also get involved with what some firms are calling kind of their director of innovation or leading of innovation. I'm probably spending about 30% of my time on projects related to implementation of new technology or new solutions for the different service lines. To give you some context, our firm has, our traditional CPA firm, we've gotten our start back in the 1940s on basically what used to be called write-up work, which is now called CAS or Computer Advisory Service, Client
Yeah, Client
Advisory
Advisory
Services.
Services.
So that's still a big part of our practice, but we've also got the traditional business and personal tax side of things and an assurance practice as well. And so I get involved with training our client servers. One of the things I'm heavily involved with is kind of that trend toward how can CPA firms add more value, how can we be more advisory in what we're up to.
Yeah, great. And so the breakdown again with your role, you said about
Probably
30%.
80% training and probably 20% on the technology innovation side. As we were speaking, I've been in the profession 35 years, and it seems like other than 6 years in private industry, I've always been around technology or training in some form or fashion. For example, in my first part of my career, I was with a Big Four firm in Des Moines, which was a small office of that firm, but I was a local office champion for their paperless rollout in the early 1990s. So I got involved with some of the change management issues when I was with a I'll call it a top 10 firm. I was heavily involved with their audit platform in terms of solutions for their audit team. So, been around technology, change management, solutions requirements, et cetera. I'm doing some of the
And
same things with this firm.
I was gonna ask, do you remember how long that paper or to paperless transition took, approximately?
We were on version one of that software. I believe we did that over a 2 or 3 year period. The firm made good decisions in terms of not trying to do everything all at once. So there were certain goals, which I'm always in favor of, is trying to say, well, what are we trying to get done this year? Learn from your mistakes, pilot that technology, and then go from there. So, we did a model, if I recall, of 5 or 10% of the engagements. There's lots of different ways to do that. Every partner takes one engagement, or you can pick a particular niche and say, well, we're going to really focus on this niche or this service line and learn from there and then roll it out more. I've always been an advocate of that type of strategy on any kind of particularly major software.
Jeez. Yeah, so from the beginning, I could see, yeah, like you said, you've been living in technology really, and it's been a big probably passion of yours since you've been continuing in it. So
Absolutely.
yeah, great to hear. Well, without further ado, I'll jump into
Sure.
our series today. So the first question I had for you was, if we look back, 2022 delivered more than its fair share of challenges. But thinking technology, what were you most grateful for?
I think there were and you'll find that I don't give a simple answer, so you'll
Yeah,
have to
no
edit some of
worries.
this down. But probably three things. One is we were in the second or third year of some implementation of some of our technology around, you know, tax automation or practice management. And so being able to be at a point where there was more stability in those tools we were using, people were mm-hmm. used to the platform, and we were in more of the incremental improvement phase rather than real troubleshooting phase. That would be one. Another one was our IT group has had some real success in automating certain internal processes using some, you know, robotics process automation type technology. They aren't huge wins in terms of major rewrites, but they've been really strategic in terms of taking parts of our operation, like how we issue engagement letters and get those engagement letters back and file them, et cetera. They've been able to use some technology to automate some of those processes and connect different systems, whereby once that engagement letter comes back from the field, it can be filed, it can be updated in our client relationship management software, and it can kick off a lot of things that used to require a manual intervention. So they've had some real good success with some of that technology. And then the third thing I'd say I'm most grateful for really is we've had very consistent leadership in our IT side of things. Same IT director for the last 7 years. He's very connected to user groups out in the field and stays okay. current. But we haven't had, you know, sometimes when you bring in new IT leadership, they've got their own history and philosophy of where they've been, and you kind of do the zig and zag and zig.
Their
and
biases, zag. Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. So we've had, a very consistent strategy and approach to how we develop things, et cetera.
Okay. And that's so important to be so consistent and have a clear mission and really gain momentum in that path or that strategy you're going on. But in terms of the IT team, how big is it approximately in your firm?
We have an IT director, kind of someone dealing with the application side and someone dealing with the infrastructure side, and probably two or three people underneath each of them. So in total, probably six or seven.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good size. Yeah. Great.
Our firm's about 250 people in total.
In total. Yep. And all just in Iowa, right?
Actually, we've got 5 offices in Iowa, 3 in Wisconsin.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Good old dairy state there. Great. Yeah. That was a great answer to number one there. So I'll just go ahead on to question number two. So from a tech perspective, what do you believe is the greatest issue facing the accounting industry right now? Kind of a biggie. Might be a little bit of a multi-part question here or answer.
Sure. Right. So one of the things in my role I have the benefit of doing is I follow what's happening at the AICPA level in terms of digital mm-hmm. transformation. Every year I attend, sometimes virtually, the AICPA's digital conference, which is in December of every year. This year they had 1,000 people there. So it's become a very significant conference. That's actually where I connected with your firm probably 3 or 4 years ago, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But I participate in that. I also participate in the town hall meetings that the AICPA does. And one of the challenges is really just the sheer volume of technical changes, technology changes that are coming mm-hmm. at different firms. They will occasionally put up what they call their finance ecosystem. And there's just tons of different companies in different environments, et cetera. And so just looking at that list of potential solutions, and there's more mm-hmm. coming online all the time. You know, it used to be that the idea of using a solution that was not US based in terms of the company was just, you would never do it. And now there's companies from all over Europe, Asia, et cetera, that are providing practical solutions as well. So the breadth of providers is going up, but just the sheer volume of possible solutions coming at you is a challenge, but that's also an opportunity as well. I think there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, that is just so many different solutions out there, 100%. I mean, for instance, reporting softwares, there's many of them out there. The silly analogy that pops in my brain is like, you know, with probably back in the old day, it was more of like, you know, classic with a coffee analogy. If you're sitting at a diner, you get black coffee. That's it. That's all they have. And then maybe, you know, an advance to some creamer, some sugar. But now at this stage, we're kind of at that Starbucks stage where you sit there at the Starbucks line and you're like, The menu is ginormous. What do I even order? Yeah, you were mentioning though your IT team or internally, you have kind of this tech roadmap that keeps you guys accountable to making sure you're using the right solutions.
Yeah, so one of the things we kind of joked about was when you have leadership that's involved in going to different conferences, et cetera, one of the drawbacks of that is that they will come back having met with three or four different people at booths or different things, and they'll come back very excited about a particular technology and saying, "Why aren't we doing this?" Or, "Wow, I heard this. We should be doing that." Which is good. I'm glad they're interested, but it can also be a challenge in terms of being able to say, "Well, hold on, here's what we're doing, et cetera." So one of the things that myself and our IT team, as well as some key leaders from our different service lines, have done is we've just crafted what I think is a very practical technology roadmap. I'm a big believer in the concept of doing a time box. So the way we first developed this 3 or 4 years ago was saying, okay, we're not just going to work on this technology roadmap until it's done. We're going to say we're going to spend between, I think it was something like October and November 30th, and we're going to say what is available to us, and we're going to do as much as we can in that 2 month window to say we want to understand for the three different service lines where are we at in terms of the major software that we're using. Is it working or not working? And if it's not, is it a high priority to change or update, et cetera? And so we ended up with, again, just going through audit, accounting services, tax, what software is currently there? What's on the horizon? Is this something that is in our next year window or 2 years from now window? One of the things that I think is innovative that our IT director does is instead of getting into this 3 or 5 year technology plan, it's either are we going to do it next year or after next year? It really simplifies the thought process. And so we it was a way for us to say of all the laundry list of things we're working on, from workflow to automating how data gets into our various processes to how we report, how we issue deliverables, what's working, not working. When you look at the impact on the practice as a whole, what's most important, and then what are some solutions that we're either implementing or will be looking to implement in the next year, or if it's not in the next year, at a future date. And so
Boy,
we
it's
were
it.
real pleased with that product and how it turned out. We got it done within that window, and we're actually that was probably 2 or 3 years ago. We're due for now an update of that as well to go through and go through that same exercise in terms of, well, we have implemented these things. Now, where are we at?
And that's so crucial to go through that internal audit and just make sure, yeah, you're going on the right path that you originally set out to go on. Now I'm going a little bit off the beaten path or off our trail here, but I mean, I know there might be some listeners who don't have an IT team and they don't have that human resource. For a smaller firm, would you have any advice maybe on how to, I guess, structure themselves to be able to make sure they're using the right tech solutions, I guess?
Yeah, actually, I do. I think one of the pitfalls of having so much technology available to you and so many different solutions is getting in a situation where you're always chasing the next thing. And I think it's really important to be grounded in a few ideas. Is I believe that what's most important is setting a strategy or having a strategy, whether it's the absolute best strategy or not. But having a strategy and then thinking in terms of how does technology complement that strategy, work with that strategy, and not the other way around. Not, we've got this technology, everybody's using it. What should we do with it? I really think you need to be grounded in your own company strategy and have the solutions kind of mirror that. And that also, I'm also a big believer in the concept of the 80-20 rule. In terms of, you know, one of the challenges, either at a staffing level or technology level, et cetera, is just limited resources. And, you know, big companies, their probably biggest complaint is we don't have enough resources. Small companies, they're probably saying we don't have enough resources. And so it's just a different it's a different animal that they're facing, but different size animal. And so the concept of what's most important, what are we going to prioritize? I'd rather have a technology solution that's average, but that's very well executed, than having the best solution picked, but not having the resources, the time, or the focus to execute well against that. And so sometimes those are really tough choices that you need to make in terms of, let's take, you know, financial reporting systems as an example. There are lots of good financial planning and analysis software solutions that are out there. And one of the things we've been trying to be disciplined in is we've got one that we're kind of working through right now. And as much as I'd like to explore two or three other solutions that can do different things, more things, better things, what we've agreed to is let's stay focused on this one. Let's really try to implement that and get as much usage out of that as possible over the next year or two. And through that, we're going to find out more of what it can and can't do. And then we'll be in a better position to now really look at what solution is going to take us to that next level. And so I think having that discipline is really a challenge as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. And to the first part that you said, just to regurgitate that, it sounds like, yeah, it's not you pick a technology and then develop a strategy around that technology. No, it's that you develop the strategy first, and that technology is there to just support you in your project, let's say. Yeah, which is really, yeah, fundamental. So, and then I love that. Yeah, it's two different animals, but everyone, whether that's a small firm or a big firm, it's, I need more resources. So just knowing that you pick a strategy, it doesn't have to be perfect, but if you stick to it, there's hope. So that's really encouraging to hear. So great answer. All right, I'll move on to our last question today. Question number three. So what's the number one tech solution on your wish list? Not necessarily a app, let's say, but something that is a remedy for a pain point, or something that, you know, you guys are experiencing internally.
Again, won't have a single answer, but I'll give you a range of answers for different things. You know, on the audit side, one of the things we're patiently waiting for is a future solution to the audit platform that we're using. Our current provider is a large provider. They're in the midst of developing and then roll out their cloud-based platform, which will provide a lot of new features and new capabilities, but that's still a year or two down the road. In fact, it's been a year or two down the road for 3 or 4 years now. And then you've got other players like the AICPA developing their own dynamic audit solutions, which again is in kind of that pilot initial rollout phase now, and will be maturing over the next 3 or 4 years and making some decisions in terms of what feature set are we most interested in. We're going to rely on the audit software. Is not something you change every year, every other year. Yep. So, you know, an ideal solution for us is going to be one that is cloud-based, that really allows us to have transparency and visibility into the status of engagements, that allows us to update things seamlessly and stay current with standards. And so trying to determine which, you know, stay with the current platform or eventually migrate to a different one is one of the things that we're looking at on the overall as a practice. One of the things that pops up very frequently is just workflow, different tools that can help particular, you know, accounting services practice or tax practice understand how much work is in the inbox, what's in step 1, 2, 3, or 4, who needs to be working on it, do we have enough resources, et cetera. And so we've been implementing some things around that, but I think that's kind of the ideal solution is something that could really handle workflow over ideally three different platforms, meaning our accounting services group, our tax group, and our audit group. That's probably unrealistic to get there, but certainly having practical solutions over with workflow over all three of those would be something that we're looking at. And then just continuing with again the automation, we're still on a variety of fronts, at least from what we've seen, there's a lot of good things that are in development related to artificial intelligence and smart technology, but that's also a challenge as well as, you know, where do you jump onto that train? All right. There's yeah. benefits to being an early adopter, but there's also costs and pain with that. And you certainly don't want to be at the end of the adoption curve, but you want to find that right mix of when to get on. So trying to figure out when's the right time to get on that artificial intelligence train is something that we're looking at.
Yeah. No, very, very wise thing to think about of, yeah, there's definitely risks with being the first guinea pig and like you said, pain. So yeah, all about finding that magic time to, you know, jump on the bandwagon, whatever that is. So great.
You'd asked about advice. That would probably be my other piece of advice. We're part of the CPA America Association, which is a network of over 90 different firms. We're very active in that in terms of, you know, information sharing, et cetera. We're also, our IT group is part of some other really good user groups as well. And so they're using their peers to share information, stay current, and really learn from each other. So, you know, again, regardless of the size firm you are, there are opportunities to network and learn from others. And so that takes an investment, but I do think that's a very good use of time in terms of what you're going to get return on investment.
100%. Yeah. No, it's so important to network and surround yourself with people who are going in the same direction and, you know, and hopefully find people who are, you know, well down the path and you could learn from them. So, but so important to always turn back around too and help those next in line. Like that good old humble and kind Tim McGraw song.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Well, cool. Awesome. I think that is fantastic. You've answered these questions spectacularly. And I think there's a lot of insight there. So really thank you, Mike, for giving your time today. And hopefully, you know, everyone has gotten something out of this.
Yeah, that would be my hope. If someone picked up a few things, learned from others' mistakes, it's always a good way to go.
Yeah. 100%. Great. Well, until next
thanks
time.
Thanks again for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. And see everyone. Have a good day. Bye.